the children of Israel trapped at the Red Sea by that mean old Pharaoh and his army. They had water all around them. They were on their tracks, out of where God stepped in and paved a highway just like that.
Good to us this morning. How many of you enjoyed service here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord. You appreciate being encouraged when you're discouraged. Oh, there's a way. We'll find the secret more about it this morning. There is a way. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian? Are you glad you love to come to the house of God? Well, why don't you sit down? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Most of the time you need to be invited to stand. I'm just saying. I'm just kidding. If you want to run, that's your business. We're so glad to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. It's so good to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at our prayer requests this morning. We've got several things we want to tell you about. First of all, I want to read you a testimony this morning that I believe will just be a blessing to you. You know, we've been praying for Sister Brenda Harmon. She'd been covered up in poison ivy, just suffering really, really bad. This is her testimony this morning. You get ready to sing that second verse of that song for me again, will you, when we read this testimony? Because I believe this will encourage you. This is Sister Brenda Harmon's testimony. Said, I've been suffering for almost 2 weeks with a severe rash from poison ivy over most of my body. I've done everything that I know to do. The doctors have done everything they know to do, but it did not get better. It only got worse. The itching has been unbearable, causing great pain, exhaustion, unable to sleep. Last night during the service, Sister Deanna went up in my place for prayer. After prayer, not only did the terrible itching stop, but I was able to sleep all night, and today the whelps are gone, or even gone. My skin looks so much better and healthy. Thanks be to God Almighty. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, you can ask the 5,000, the hungry souls are fed.
Let's all stand
on the banks of that river with two fish and five loaves of bread.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request this morning, if you will. Still will remember Brother Charlie Therese in prayer, having very severe leg pain. So let's pray for our brother today. Also will remember Sister Naomi Daly in prayer. She's in severe pain and barely able to walk. So let's pray for our sister this morning. Brother Caleb Adkins says that Brother Elmer Adkins was unable to be in the house of the Lord today. His blood pressure is really high, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. We'll remember Alex Goulds. She was admitted to the hospital with severe UTI and kidney stone. So we certainly want to pray for her today, that the Lord would be mindful. And here's a request for a sister that has lost several of her loved ones in the last little bit. The Lord knows all about their needs. We just commit them unto the Lord. Also keep little Heartland in your prayer. She's 4 years old and very sick, so we want to remember that prayer request. And then we read the testimony of Sister Brenda Harmon. All the unspoken prayer requests. I know there's many needs among us today. So glad to see my brother in May, Bob and May, in service today. Bob had a pacemaker replaced and was getting along really, really well. Suffered a few setbacks and different things, some problems in his chest area, but the Lord has made it possible for them to be in the house of God. And I just appreciate the Lord touching my brother this morning. I really do. I appreciate God touching all my brothers and sisters. He's an on-time God. Don't you give up. Don't you get down on God. He's the only one that can get us out of here. He's the only one that can do things in your life that nobody else can do. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more big hand clap of praise if you love him. Brother Terry, come this morning. Oh, we love Brother Terry Horn, don't we? Praise the Lord, buddy. We appreciate you.
You look good this morning, brother. God bless you. Let's bow our heads as we pray. You believe with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, truly, we could say as we sing the song, you're an on-time God. Whatever things we go through with, sometimes you don't come when we think that you should come. But sometimes, just like at the grave of Lazarus, you knew that there was a better way. There was a better plan. There was a better reason. There was a real focus why you delayed your coming. You gave him a resurrection. Oh, God, how thankful we are. If we just can always get into your channel and realize what you have for your children,
we'll be more happy, more satisfied. Thank you for the encouragement last night, the word of the Lord that brings us true encouragement. Lord, David encouraged himself. Lord, we believe that because of the predestination and election, and we understand, Lord, more and more about your foreknowledge and your thoughts and your desires and your focus for us and your choosing, your thoughts in the back part of your mind. All these wonderful things we're beginning to understand more and more. You chose your bride from the foundation. That encourages us, Lord Jesus. Lord, in these hard times, when it's getting darker and darker, Lord, there's still light among us. Thank you for the fivefold ministry that brings the word of the Lord, encourages the bride, and keeps us, Lord, on the straight and narrow. How thankful. Many, many hundreds and thousands of things we're thankful for. We still have the opportunity in the free country to be in the house of God to worship you. I pray now for these requests, each one. You know, they've been read. You know the needs, each one. We ask, especially Sister Alex Goulds, you know what she's going through, been going through with these kidney stones and so forth. Touch her, heal her. We drive back the force of the devil. May she be delivered this morning from that condition, Lord, and come out of that hospital altogether delivered. We ask that you grant these things. Bless the reading of the word, the preaching of the word, the anointing that's on the word, anoint our hearts to receive. And may we truly say, it's been good to be in the house of God. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. Receive our thanksgiving this morning, Lord. Heal each one. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming the service today, we pray it would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it together? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand if you would this morning. I believe it's done. Amen. Let me make two or three announcements while they're getting the offering out of the way this morning. There was a set of keys. There are a set of keys over in the library. It looks like a Ford key with, looks like maybe a house key attached to that. So if you've lost keys, they have those available for you over in the library. Sister Cindy Hunt wants you to know that there are several items in the fellowship hall for you to pick up from the weddings and the banquets. If you know that they're over there, please go and get them. Now, when Sister Cindy says to go get them, it's time to go get them. Usually it's the guys in the library that put the forewarning out to go get your stuff. But now, when a sister that says, go get them, it's time to go get them. So if you got them, go get them. Also, choir rehearsal today at 3:30. Remember that. We appreciate our choir. They do such an outstanding job. So choir rehearsal at 3:30. Brother Wes wants you to know that there will be a teen and young adult Bible study in the fellowship hall from 6 until 8 p.m. tomorrow evening. We will be discussing Christian finance. Sounds like a lot of us ought to be able to come to that meeting. So when you be here for that. If you're a young teens, young adult, be here for that. Now, Brother Chisholm's not here this morning, but we're going to sing I Believe He's Coming Back like he said anyway. That's a good song. And you know what? It's closer now than it was last night when we were here. He's coming back. I want to be ready to go with him, don't you? We're going to meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's worth fighting for. It's worth getting your hands dirty for. To get out of this old pest house, he's coming back. Somebody say it's the truth. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. I believe he's coming back like he said.
I believe he's coming back like
Do you really believe it this morning? God bless you. You can be seated. Sister Anna, Sister Cindy, come on to the platform. Brother Brandon Green has a song for us this morning. If you'd come on to the platform, be getting ready to sing. Give our singers a nice hand as they come to sing for you this morning. The effort and the time that's invested in our singers getting ready to sing for us, don't we? We do. Give them one more hand if you would this morning. Praise the Lord.
Life. He came to be the living word, our light. He came to die so we'd be reconciled. He came to rise to show his power and might. And that's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. Yes, that's why we bow down and worship this king. He gave his everything. Yes, he gave his everything. He came to live, live again in us. He came to be our conquering king and friend. He came to heal and show the lost ones his love. He came to go, prepare a place for us. And that's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. Yes, that's why we bow down and worship this king. 'Cause he gave his everything. Yes, he gave. Oh, that's why we praise him. That's why we sing. That's why we offer him our everything. Yes, that's why we bow down and worship this king. 'Cause he gave his everything. Yes, he gave his everything. He gave his everything. Yes, he gave his
Brother Gary to help me on this one, but singing that is. This song has some powerful words, and you know, the second verse I can't say, it talks about losing a mother, and thankfully I haven't lost my mother. But I know a lot of us have lost loved ones, and we know where they're at. And so if you've lost a mother or anyone, that this song's for you.
When I see the sunrise
In the morning, when I feel the wind blow across my face, when I hear the sound of children playing, I know it's all a part of God's amazing grace. And I believe there's a place called heaven, and I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man, his name is Jesus, and I believe that he gave his life for me. Was there the day my mama went to heaven? I held her hand as she closed her eyes to sleep. I felt the power of 10,000 angels take her soul away to be crowned at Jesus' feet. And I believe there's a place called heaven, and I believe in a place called Calvary. I believe in a man, his name is Jesus, and I believe that he gave his life for me. Oh, I believe that he gave his life for me.
Appreciate our singers. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand this morning, if you will. We're certainly glad for what we heard here last night. Looking forward to what God's got for us again today. These messages that we're hearing, folks, it's not warmed over leftovers. But this is fresh manna that we're hearing from straight from heaven. And I'm so glad to get to be able to sit in an assembly such as this, to hear the things that we hear in this time of our life. We're hearing things that will get us out of here. You believe that? Give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise this morning. Let's sing the little chorus we sung last night. We need you now. We need you right now. How many of you need him right now? Right now. Somebody say right now. Well, he's fixing to come out here in the form of a man to say eternal things in your ears that's going to make you a better man or a better woman or a better boy or a better girl today. Right now, you're fixing to hear things that's going to be better for you to live by. Let's sing it with all of our heart.
We need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now, we lift our hands, we bow our knees, and worship at your throne. We need you, Lord.
A present help to us in a time of need and trouble. I'm glad he's there when we don't really have any great needs going on. Just to be able to go to him and spend time with him. Tell him how much you love him and appreciate him. Amen. Very glad to be in the house of the Lord today. We're going to pray, but before we do, I'd like to share with you Brother Aaron Cobb. I got a text from Sister Sarah this morning. Earlier, and Brother Aaron had a really, really bad night last night, and they had to call in a doctor to try to get him some pain medication. They did give him some really strong stuff, but it just barely offset the pain. So they called for a doctor to come in. Finally came in about 2:45. The doctor ordered an MRI, and then she texted me just a bit ago before I came out that the report of the MRI was that there was something that showed up in the bile duct somehow. So they were taking him down for an emergency procedure. There was no infection. Thank the Lord for that. So we just want to believe God for our brother today. He said he was just in such horrible, terrible pain last night and this morning. And in order to really get him out, they had to give him Dilaudin and some other kind of strong stuff. And he was pretty much just out of it. But we know God is an on-time God. I'm sure you have needs and requests and desires in your heart today, but you just raise your hand there before the Lord. Lord, as we're singing this song to you, Lord Jesus, maybe there's some of us standing here today and we're not in urgent need in our bodies. Maybe our finances are okay where we can pay our bills and be able to take care of things in life. Maybe we're not under so much stress today. We're not dealing with too many difficulties, but all of that could change in 5 minutes from now. And we're so grateful that we know you as a God who's concerned about the needs of your children. You don't promise us that we'll be exempt from these things because we're human. So that means we're susceptible to sickness, disease, trouble, heartache. But Lord, one thing different than we have than a man is not serving you. We have your love, your care, and your concern. Lord Jesus, we pray for our Brother Aaron today, Lord, that you would just be with him, God. Lord Jesus, I ask that whatever the doctors is missing, Lord, as bilirubin was up even higher this morning, but we're just believing you, dear God, that you'd move for our brother, that you'd help him. We know the devil can hide from the doctor sometime, even hide from his scans and whatever more, but he can't hide from your all-seeing eye. We just pray for our brother, Father, that you'd move for him. Lord, let the doctors be able to find what's going on with him. Lord Jesus, we're believing you for a complete deliverance for our brother. Then, Lord, in this congregation today, there was hundreds of hands that were uplifted, a different need than Brother Aaron's, but yet, Lord, just as important to you. So we're asking that you would help us each one today. Lord, you see my need. Now, Father, as I stand before your people, what an awesome responsibility it is for any man, dear God, to stand and to be able to bring something that will help them. Lord, we've heard enough preachers to know that it'll take you to be able to move today. If there's anything said of eternal value, anything that'll go beyond just a few days or a few weeks to help us, it'll have to be you that'll do it, Lord. So we're just believing you to speak to us today. Your great words in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved today. We're going to have a real special treat here Wednesday night. Brother Tim Pruitt's going to be coming by for us on his way up to Brother Ron Spencer's at their meeting up there next week. So he'll be speaking for us Wednesday night. So come expecting what the Lord will just put on his heart for us. Amen. Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Again, instead of us focusing so much on this little fox called discouragement, today we'd like to focus on how we will battle this little fox. And that is through encouragement. I thank God for the encouragement that we had last night, don't you? I appreciate the word. I appreciate the supernatural. I appreciate miracles that God does, healing. I appreciate it if God just directs me to look toward a tree and, you know, that tree has life and a mountain. And I'm a pretty simple sort of a guy. Y'all know that already. It doesn't take a lot of great deep things for God to be able to speak to me. God can speak to me through very, very simple things. I feel sorry for those folks who feel like they're so deep that it takes a lot of deep things because they miss a lot of everyday stuff. You know, that just the rest of us, same old common plain folk are able to get. It takes really a lot to be able to speak to them. And I'm glad that I'm that way because I find that the Lord Jesus spoke in those common terms of plain simple things. And I find the prophet of God was that kind of a man that God would be able to speak to him out of signs and, you know, signs going up over the door. Also, yesterday I read where he was complimenting Joseph Mattson Mose in Chicago, where the Brother Branham had been so discouraged about some different things. And the Lord had used Brother Mose. Brother Mose was never a man that really embraced the fullness of the message, Trinitarian, never really accepted Brother Branham as Elijah, on and on and on and on and on. Yet he was a real close personal friend of Brother Branham. Brother Branham was kind of down, despondent, going through something, and the Lord had used Brother Bose actually to be able to really bring some great encouragement in Brother Branham's life. Now, can you imagine a man way up here and God using a man way down here to be able to encourage him? Well, that's the kind of man Brother Branham was, you see, to be able to receive encouragement and no matter what form that God sent him. I think you and I lose a lot from the walk of God when we get to that spot. Well, I'll tell you one thing, Nate, nobody can help me but the deepest preachers. Well, you're missing a lot of encouragement, I'll tell you that right now. Myself, I desire to receive encouragement. If God wants to send a firefly by my way and light him up a little bit, I'll say, thank you, Jesus. A light can shine in the darkness. That's right. Oh, you say, that is foolish, is it? When Brother Branham saw lightning, he said, it proves there can be light in the time of darkness. You see, a deep person would never even comprehend that. So there's many things that God can use to be able to encourage us, because God knows that we need it. Every day of our life, every hour of our life, we're constantly being influenced and constantly being impounded by Satan to try to bring such things that would discourage us in our heart, in our face, and our walk with the Lord. But the Lord Jesus loves us so much, and we will prevail. There is no question about it. We will prevail. We're already prevailing day by day as we walk on with God. So let me start this morning by the help of the Lord, and let me give you a little bit of direction the way that we'd like to go today. The prophet says it this way: if you notice, it's when you are discouraged, that's when the devil can really pour it on you. And how many can say amen to that, that you've been there and done that? That's when he gets you. If you come to the church and say, well, I don't know whether I'll ever get better or not, I've been prayed for twice, oh my, you might as well go home. That's all. But when you get cast aside, when you cast that aside, God don't want you to be frowning. God wants you to be happy. The human heart was made to be happy. Worry will cause cancer. Another good incentive to stop worrying. Worry will cause cancer. Temper will cause cancer. Don't never be upset. Just walk in His love, amen, knowing that you're walking in Him and nothing can harm you. There's nothing can harm you. There's neither powers, things present, things future. Nothing can separate us from Him. I love these next words. We are in Him, and we never come in by our own will. He by choice elected us and brought, oh hallelujah, and brought into Him. Amen. So that's His business to take care of what He took Himself. No man can pluck them from my Father's hand, because He's the greatest of all of them. Amen. So you didn't come to God on your own choice. You didn't come to God on your own merits or on your own favor. He brought you to Him. And if He did it, it's up to Him to take care of you. Notice again in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, Jesus speaking, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So how are we going to fight discouragement? We will fight it by encouragement. How are we going to have positive faith? That is by thinking on positive things. Now remember, it's not mind over matter, it's word over matter. It is not, but I want to read you some things now that I want to help you see that science and man has actually broke in to an understanding of the physiology of the anatomy of the human being. And that is how that the orchestration of the divine being of God allocated man to be able to sync together so much in his mind and in his body that the mind has the capability by thoughts. Now you don't realize it and you may not feel it every time, but every thought you have releases actually chemistry inside of your body. Now if there are positive thoughts, they release one kind. If they're negative, they release another kind. And science has broke into it to understand that certain things of the way we think and what we think about has a great impact on the type of people that we are. And I find this so amazing, because the prophet was saying this way back years ago before science ever broke into it. Notice this, negative thoughts affect our brain by triggering the same stress response. Chronic stress affects the body physically and can have effects on our health
and well-being. Now listen to this. This is how stress and negative thinking controls, it changes cortisol. Stress from negative thinking creates changes in the brain that may affect your your likelihood of mental disorders such as anxiety, depression, ADHD, schizophrenia, and mood disorders just by negative thinking. Now, maybe you've not even been diagnosed with any of these situations as far as the doctor is concerned, but when you dwell long enough on negative thoughts, your body will start releasing these things inside of you as if though you have these disorders. The problem is that our brains are good at learning from bad experience, but bad at learning from good experiences. Improving our brains by eliminating negative thinking is possible. And I say hallelujah to that. Replacing negative thinking with positive thinking is like training your brain like you would a dog. So listen, Fido. You give a dog reward for a good behavior, and your brain is similar in that positive thoughts create pleasure in the brain, which is a reward. Once we feel pleasure, we want more of it. So give your brain positive thoughts and keep it on a steady diet of self-rewarding pleasure. How much money do you spend on golfing? How much money do you spend on fishing, hunting, camping, RVs, vacation? And what's all of that for? Enjoyment and pleasure. And you can give yourself some of the greatest pleasure a human being can do, and it won't cost you one nickel. That's thinking on good things. Now, if a human being, now this is not even folks that are filled with the Holy Ghost, but if they can think positive things and change their bodies, what will the bride be able to do thinking on the positive things, not just of life, but the reality of the Word of God? Can't you see why? Eventually, our bodies will have to match our thoughts. Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, there ain't nothing to that. Well, Brother Branham, is there anything to what I'm saying this morning? No matter how you're feeling, if you go to your feeling, then you're certainly going to get back to that. Every time you have a negative testimony, every time you look at your symptoms, you're falling right then. There's not a Christian in you, no matter how solid you are in the faith. Now listen to this, friends. And right now in you, something happened to get a hold to you and tell you that you're not a Christian. And you start out testifying, well, I'm not a Christian no more. You've dropped right then. Now, notice he didn't say that started drinking, that started watching porn, that started Brother Dow running around with other women. It started right up here, them thinking, I'm not a Christian no more. And the power of that confession will actually release them from the stronghold of faith. Now, we're not talking about a sealed person with the Holy Ghost. We are talking about a person who's walking thus far in intellectual faith. But their thinking about who they are has such a negative or positive effect on them, it can actually zap them of their Christian testimony. Well, I'm no longer saved. I don't guess I am saved. I'm not sure that there is a God. I'm not sure that there's a message. I'm not sure that I even believe in going to church anymore. And it all happened where? Wasn't a bottle of beer. Wasn't a cigar about that long. It was up here in their head. Preach, Brother Donnie. Watch this now. Well, I'm not a Christian no more. You drop right there. You're no more a Christian anymore. As soon as you testify that you're not a Christian, you drop from grace. You've fallen because your own speech tells what you are. Oh, my. Notice this again in law. It's a strange saying. There's so much thought of people that say, well, I'm weak and my faith is not very much. I'm not a very good Christian. That's just what the devil wants you to say. Yeah. Amen. You're talking his language. Yeah. I mean, I thought the devil used cuss words all the time. No. It's just when you say you're weak in faith, you're talking devil talk. When you say you're not a good Christian, you're talking devil talk. Well, praise the Lord. I love this. You must never say that. Don't never let your testimony be negative. Let it be positive. Now he's going to tell you what to say. I'm saved. I have God in my heart. I believe him with all my heart. Do you believe him? Do I need him with all my heart? Let your testimony always and your thoughts never permit a negative thought to come in your mind if you can help it. When it starts, that don't entertain it. Well, you say, I can't help the thoughts from coming. Well, be like the farmer that said he couldn't stop the birds from flying over his place, but he could sure stop them from roosting. That's a good thing. You see, you can't help the thoughts when they come, but don't entertain them. Will we ever be to the place that these kind of thoughts will stop coming? No, but you can stop them and you can absolutely forbid them from growing in your mind and say, there is no room in my head for such trash. Yeah. Brother Donnie, I've tried it and it failed. We'll keep on trying and keep on trying and keep on trying. This don't lie. But you don't know how bad my head is, but it'd be a bigger miracle. Oh, but I have all kinds of thoughts goes on my head. I'm sure we all do. We wouldn't probably want to disclose a lot of the thoughts that go through our crazy head sometimes. Don't sit there and look at me like all of your thoughts are angelic thoughts. That's right. Now notice this. Oh my. I love the way he says it. You can't help them from coming, but don't entertain them. Pass it on. No, sir. Jesus Christ is my Savior. All things are mine by God. And I'm going to keep them. I'm going to testify. And God can only bless you as you confess he has done it for you. So when you say, I'm not very good, I'm worthless, I ain't no count, I'll never be in the bride, he cannot confess that in heaven because that don't match what he thinks about you. Well, I'm going to have church. Anybody want to have it with me? Y'all come and y'all all dressed up. I just say we have church this morning. Notice, is that right? Hebrews 3 said he's the high priest of our confession. He can only do for us as we, I love these three statements, as we accept it and believe it and confess it. Except, notice this. A. Oh, hallelujah. I'm fixing to have a spell. A. Except, believe. B. Oh, glory. And confess. C. There's your ABCs, my brother, sister. Hallelujah. There's your ABCs. I have read that quote for decades and just seen that. Whew. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Brother Donnie, I believe you're a nut. I'm going to agree with you this morning. I think I am. Notice this. He says, I might say to this audience this afternoon, how many of us Christians, perhaps 95% or maybe 100, raise up your hands. Not a Christian. As long as you believe that, all right. But the minute you begin to think that you're not, that's the time you start sinking. Now, can you imagine how many people have backslid from God? Right there. They never done one thing wrong as far as anybody saw it. They never smoked. They never run around. But they started right there, Brother Dale, thinking, am I a Christian? Am I bride? Do I belong at Happy Valley? Really, do I believe this message? Why am I even here? And it starts right there. Amen. Believe it or not, you overcome or are defeated right here first. I don't care how much you run, jump, shout, speak in tongues, holler, swing on the chandeliers, or whatever you do. You're defeated. That's right. You are defeated or victorious right here. Oh my. Notice this. You start thinking right there. That's the time your testimony is negative. Divine healing lasts just as long as your faith lasts. Your salvation the same. Now, let's go back to science, shall we? Your thoughts form your character. How you operate in the world. How far you travel mentally, physically, and spiritually. You are what you think you are. And all your actions proceed from thought. Your inner thoughts will always be reflected in your outer circumstances because self-generated changes in your life always preceded by changes in the way you think about something. Oh, glory to God. Can't you see why we got to have rapture preaching? Can't you see why that we cannot go on with Pentecostalism? We cannot go on with Baptistism? There must be a change in the bride's thinking in the last days. As far as your brain, every thought releases brain chemicals. No wonder I get so confused sometimes. This thought releases one chemical, and this thought releases another chemical. Lord have mercy, it's what are I in an H-bomb? Or an A-bomb or something about to blow up. Don't sit there and look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Can you imagine right here this morning how many chemicals has been released in your brain already? Being focused on negative thoughts effectively saps the brain of its positive forcefulness. Slows it down and can go as far as dimming your brain's ability to function, even creating depression. And you get down and depressed and all weary, and in your mind you're thinking, it's some demon out there. Some demon that's got a big old pitchfork. And a big long tail of. No, it's you. Look in the mirror and you'll see the culprit. Look in the mirror and think about what you've been thinking about for the last month or the last 6 months. Can you imagine a lot of our depression being self-generated? On the flip side, thinking positive, happy, hopeful, optimistic, joyful thoughts decreases cortisol and produces serotonin, which creates, notice, Satan cannot create, but he puts negative thoughts in your mind and uses the chemistry in your own body to create depression. God takes positive thoughts by His Word and releases chemistry in your body to create. Oh, hallelujah! The devil ain't a creator, but you are. Which creates a sense of well-being. This helps your brain function at peak capacity. Happy thoughts and positive thinking in general support brain growth, as well as the generation and reinforcement of new synapses, especially in the prefrontal cortex, PFC, which serves as the integration center of all your brain-mind functions. So can you imagine happy thoughts? Oh, I love you, Jesus. Praise God, it's a good day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And your body said, amen. Whew. And that PFC and DOC and TYD and all the rest of them, they're just a pumping out all them good things. And you said, praise God. And the devil said, what in the world's the matter with you? What did you? You're crazy. Now you're getting like that preacher. You go say, yeah, maybe I am. Maybe I'm getting tired of listening to you, devil. Maybe I'm getting tired of being depressed. Maybe I'm getting tired of being sick. Now listen to what goes on inside of you and I every day. In other words, your PFC not only regulates the signals that your neurons transmit to the other brain parts into your body, it allows you to think about and reflect upon that what you are physically doing. In particular, the PFC allows you to control your emotional responses through connections to your deep limbic brain. It gives you the ability to focus on whatever you choose. Whew. And to gain insight about your thinking processes. This is not PFC private first class. PFC is the only part of your brain that can control your emotions and behaviors and help you focus on whatever goals you elect to pursue. Instead of listening to the lies of the devil, well, you'll never be able to do this, and you'll never be able to do that, and you'll never amount to nothing. And then his thoughts become your thoughts. Then you think about them and think about them, and your body produces the cortisol, and it releases all this stuff. You come to church, and you struggle through the service. You struggle through the word. It ain't for me. God won't do it for me. Oh, he does it for everybody else, but he won't do it for me. I ain't getting nothing out of the service. It's your own chemistry. It ain't the fault of the Holy Ghost. It helps you grow as a human being, change what you wish to change, and live life the way you decide. Wow. So you mean I've got something to say in all this? I've got something to think in all this. Well, if I've got something to say about it, I choose to live victorious. Well, not me. I guess I just... Go ahead. You are your own destructor. Look, friends, one of these days you're going to realize that all we've been blaming on the devil, it ain't been the devil none. It's been us. Now watch this. Neuroscientists have discovered that people who have a more cheerful disposition and are more prone to optimism generally have higher activity occurring in their left PFC. I'd like to really stress out my PFC, wouldn't you? I mean, I'd really like for him to just buzz. I mean, just buzz. But it, though, that's a brain explanation. Interesting, behavioral scientists have observed fascinating differences between optimists and pessimists. Optimism, for example, involves highly desirable cognitive, emotional, and motivational components. Listen, you'd pay a lot to hear a psychiatrist tell you what I'm telling you. You know how it is. You go to a doctor and sit there 45 minutes in the waiting room. Then you go back in that other room and sit 35 minutes. And then they weigh you and put you back in there and you wait another 25 minutes. And then they come out and check your blood pressure and you wait another 35 minutes. And he comes in and you're 5 minutes and you pay him $75. I'm giving you stuff that'll change your life and it ain't costing you a thing. The only thing it's going to cost you is for you to die to yourself. Optimistic people tend to have better moods, to be more persevering and successful, and to experience better physical health. Pessimists are 8 times more likely to be depressed than optimists. 8 times more. They also perform worse at school and work. They have rockier interpersonal relationships and die sooner. Take all the vitamin B you want. Take the C-complex, CB12, 13Y, over 4 KOTO, whatever you want to take. But if you don't adjust your head, it's still going to kill you. Friends, look how powerful this is. These things can shorten our life. According to Sonia, man, I'll tell you one thing, if that was my name, I'd be depressed now. Whatever poor old Sonia's last name is. According to Sonia Hootacootie, a University of California researcher, unhappy people spend hours comparing themselves to other people, both above and below themselves, on the happiness scale. Happy people didn't compare themselves with anyone. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, I wish I was as rich as so-and-so. I wish I was as good-looking as so-and-so. I wish I was the other one. Don't you just be satisfied in what God has made you and say, Lord, take my oddities, take my peculiarities, turn me into a walking miracle, Lord God. Listen to this. The good news is that you can use your mind to train your brain. You thought they were the same, didn't you? You can use your mind to train your brain. Now, your mind is that which is shaped either by God or the devil. Let this, not brain, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Not let this brain be in you. We don't want Jesus' brain, his physical brain. We want his mind. We want the mind of Christ so our mind can train our brain. Oh, blessed be the Lord. You can use your mind to train your brain to tamp down the negative thoughts that lead to pessimism while ramping up the types of positive thoughts that lead to optimism. Your frontal lobe, particularly your PFC, decides what is important according to the amount of attention that you pay to something and how you feel about it. So you keep thinking about it over and over and over again. And you in your mind, by your character, your behavior, what you're doing, you are training your brain what is important. Even though it may be wrong, it may be a lie, it may be absolute negativity so much. But your brain is evaluating that this is important stuff. He rates this really high. He rates it really high. I've got to attach all these endorphins and release all this to make permanent markers. Thus, the more you focus on negativity, the more synapses and neurons your brain will create that support your negative thought process. Can't you understand why Brother Bram said if a doctor diagnosed you of having cancer, if you didn't fear it, it couldn't hurt you? But you see, we've got so much all around us everywhere. Cancer here, cancer this, cancer that. Oh, my aunt died with it. Oh, my mother, my grandpa, my father runs in my family. And what is all those things come into our mind? Then the synapses and the neurons, they begin to attach. And the brain says, this is very important to him. This is what he believes. This is what she believes. And you're going to making more and more and releasing more of this stuff. And before long, you found yourself, Lord God, what in the world is the matter with me? I'm so caught up in this. What in the world can I get away from it? Devil, get away from me. Devil, get away from me. It ain't the devil. It's your own chemistry. You're training your brain by your mindset. I'm going to die. I know I'm going to die. I'm going to have a chemo. I'm going to take radiation. Oh, God, the doctors will give me up. The doctors will give me up. That's a good time for Jesus to come and say, they give you up, I'll take in. Well, praise God, they give you up, I'll take in. Amen. your hippocampus. Now, how many of y'all knew you had a hippocampus? One or two of you, three or four of you. Your hippocampus provides the context of stored memories, which means the emotional tone and description your mind creates can potentially rewire your brain by creating stronger and neuronal pathways and synapses. Let's skip lunch. Okay, let's skip our, the rest of our activities the rest of the day. Let's go home and rewire. Now, friends, if a regular mortal human being can do this, what about a saint of God that is filled with the Holy Ghost? And they have the mind of God. If they're able, just a natural man, able to change his body literally. Can't you see why? This word will lead us to a real body change. A human being with the power of learning in themselves through their hippocampus and thymus and all that, and they would have the ability to rewire their brain. What are they doing? Oh, hallelujah. They are leading themselves to a change in their body. Don't tell me a saint of God cannot so walk in the presence of God and the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the mind of Christ. One day you'll rewire your whole self. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to stop at my brain. I want to go to my hair. I want to go to my eyes. Your hippocampus provides the context of stored memories, which means the emotional tone and description your mind creates can potentially rewire your brain by creating neuronal pathways and synapses. What you think and feel about a certain situation or thing can become so deeply ingrained that you'll have to work hard to dismantle the negative connections and rewire your brain in order to be less afraid, to think positive, to believe that dreams can come true, to trust that your efforts will be successful. Many of you are sitting here today and you've accepted this negativism about this and that and the other. Your daddy told you, your mama told you, your PE teacher, whoever it was, you're worthless, you'll never amount to nothing. You're an idiot, you ain't got no sense. And you thought about it and thought about it, and sure enough, you failed on this and you failed on that and you failed on something else, and your brain hardwired you to be a failure. Lord have mercy. Oh, but if we can get a hold of a Holy Ghost synapse, if we can get a hold of the Spirit of God and help us to rewire. Oh my goodness, I cannot imagine what some of y'all are going to tell people you work with tomorrow. They know you go to church, and they're going to ask you, what'd your preacher preach on yesterday? I think it's something about a hippopotamus or a synapotosis. Man, where'd that guy go to school? He didn't. What does all this mean? It means what we think, do, and say matters. That it affects who we become on the outside, the inside, and in our brain. Mostly it means that you can retrain your brain to be more positive. Start by thinking happy thoughts. Looking on the bright side, refocusing your brain. When negative thoughts occur, your mind has the ability to overcome how your brain thinks. I want you to listen to this. Your mind has the ability Your mind has the ability, Lord Jesus, has the ability to determine how your brain thinks. Your mind has the ability. What is your mind? Your mindset is not this piece of matter and all that up in your head. It's your mindset. It's your outlook. It's your behavior. It's what you believe about yourself. Your mind can retrain your brain. My brain says I'm getting old, but my mind says there's an 18-year-old body right in front of me. My mind says, amen, that I am more than a conqueror because I've got the mind of Christ. Come on, my brain says, oh, it's looking bad, it's looking bleak, but the mind of Christ says, amen, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You're already doing it. Your mind has the ability to determine how your brain thinks about what happens in your life. Use it to your own advantage to reframe events and think positively. If you tend to be pessimistic, don't despair. You can learn positive thinking skills. Understanding positive thinking and self-talk. Positive thinking doesn't mean that you keep your head in the sand and ignore life's less pleasant situation. Positive thinking means that you approach unpleasantness in a more positive and productive way. Positive thinking often starts with self-talk. Now listen to this. Self-talk is the endless stream of unspoken thoughts that run through your head. That's your self-talk. You see, if we say about it, oh goodness, okay. He talks to himself. You do too. Everybody does. But some people just say it out loud. Now listen to this. These automatic thoughts can be positive or negative. Some of your self-talk comes from logic and reason. Other self-talk may arise from misconceptions that you create because of lack of information. That's why we need the new birth. You see, in our self-talk, well, is there a God? I mean, my goodness, I've never really seen his hand. I've never really seen him do this, that, and the other. You know, do I really know there is? But once you get a little bit of information by revelation called a new birth, then it reshapes your misinformation, which you can see in your PFC and DOD and LOID. And then you've got that bit of missing information. You say, yes, I know there's a God. I've seen him do so much. Oh, my, I've seen him manifest himself. And then the brain begins to say, yes, there is a God. If the thoughts that run through your head are mostly negative, your outlook on life is more than likely pessimistic. If your thoughts are mostly positive, you're likely an optimist. The health benefits of positive thinking. Research has continued to explore the effects of positive thinking and optimism on health. Oh my. Health benefits that include thinking. Now listen, positive thinking may provide include increased lifespan. So if a human being could think the right things and increase their lifespan, what about a human being on steroids? The Holy Ghost. Then that human being would be able to break into the sphere of God, where he would so increase his lifespan, he would never die. Do you realize no matter how real eternal life is, it won't do you no good unless you believe there is eternal life? Increased lifespan, lower rates of depression, lower levels of distress, greater resistance to the common cold. Just another nice little thing to have when cold season comes around. Thinking the right things, that when the cold germ comes around you, he throws up his hands and I'm out of here. I can't handle that guy. He's too positive. Man, he's releasing that serotonin. It's burning my heart up. That PFC's releasing all kinds of positive thoughts. I don't like this guy. But of course, we're sitting around waiting on God. Okay, God, I got up today. I'm worn out. I'm going to go ahead and put my britches on, my shirt on, brush my teethers. I'm going to church, God. When I get there, you better help me. I'll tell you, I don't know if I can make it or not. I'm going to do my best, God. You understand what you're just doing? You're releasing all this negativism into your body and producing all these things. And poor Brother Louis, Brother Aaron, Brother Joel, whoever's leading the singer, they're trying to push through your cortisone and cortisol and push through all your depression and all your sadness. You don't need me to even go, Donnie. Brother Donnie's going to preach all over me. You ought to thank God for a pastor that preaches where you live. Greater resistance to the common cold. Better physiological, or psychological rather, and physical well-being. Better cardiovascular health. Reduce risk of death from cardiovascular disease. And we're not talking about quitting smoking. We're not talking about giving up your apple tobacco that you used to chew your snuff. We're talking about you thinking the right things. It can be better for your heart, better for your blood pressure, and much better for your wife or your husband or your children. And I like this little one here that's just thrown in on the end. Better coping skills during hardships and times of stress. Instead of, I should have known it. It always happens to me. If there's one bad product that come from China, I always get it. No, let me assure you, you wasn't the only one that got it. But what do? We get in that mindset. I know, friends, for years of my life, I was under that negative thing. I'll never do this. I'll never amount to nothing. A lot of it from my daddy. Bless his heart, he didn't know no better. But as I begin to hear this word and preach it, it has changed my thinking about myself. Oh, I'm still not nothing as far as works, but I realize I must be of some value. The Lord Jesus gave his life for me. Oh, that tells me a whole lot about how he thinks about me. I've been able to retrain myself, and it's not made me arrogant. It's not made me proud. It's made me happy. After all, don't we want peace? Some of you can have peace, the cause of sin settled in your soul, and yet up here, day by day by day, constant turmoil. In your spirit, constant turmoil. I do not believe that's what the Lord Jesus wants for your life. I believe he wants you to have a peace that passes understanding and teaching you how to bring those thoughts subject to the word. Can I go on? Notice this unconditional covenant. All devils in hell couldn't shake you. There's nothing can shake you. We receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Oh my, settle yourself on these thoughts one time and think of what God has said, not your circumstance. Nothing else but what God has said. Abraham, listen to this, didn't look at anything as circumstances. He didn't think about them. He never thought about how old Sarah was. His PFC kicked in. His hypothalamus began to remember how young and beautiful was whenever he married her. And he set that image right in front of him. Glory to God, one of these days she's going to be turned back to a young woman. And the devil said, you better think about this. Come to your senses. I ain't listening to my senses. I'm not even believing my eyes. She's a beautiful young woman again. And I'm a young, strong man. The devil said, you've lost your mind. Well, I hope I have. I hope I've lost my mind so I can get the mind of God. So my body will start obeying what my mind tells it to do. Because my mind is telling my body, get young, get young, get young. You imagine Abraham He never thought about how old Sarah was and how old he was getting. How would you do that, Brother Sam? Now, you're 100 years old. How are you going to think, I'm not 100? I'm not 100. How are you? I'm not 100. Oh, my. Walked in the doctor's office. The doctor answered, yeah, I sat down there and said, he said, Doc, I'd like to talk to you. Me and my wife's fixing to have a baby here. And we'd kind of like to make arrangements. We don't want no cesarean, nothing like that. We'd just like to set up the appointment or stuff like that. Sure. We'd be glad to do that for you. And how old is your wife? Oh, she's just a wee bit younger than I am. She's my half-sister. I married when we were both young. And, you know, we were just planning on this baby. Okay, well, why don't you go home and get the bird eye and all the pins and everything ready. And then whenever y'all need me, I'll be here, okay? And everybody, they went out and everybody said, can you believe that guy? Oh, my goodness, where does he live at? We might need to send a watch out to watch hold of this guy. What in the world? But Abraham, you know, without knowing there's life and making fun, it didn't matter the difference to him. Maybe he fell 3 or 4 times going home and got his feet tripped over the top of one another, you know, kind of walking along on his cane and said, glory to God. He set me free. Abraham, be careful now. Whoa, wait a minute, be careful. Are you going to fall down there? I ain't looking at how old I am. I ain't looking at how old Sarah is. I ain't looking at my symptoms. I ain't looking at the MRI. I'm looking at what God said. What are you looking at today? Notice this, and accept God's gift. Healing is not something you just say, well, I believe it, I believe it. Now that's all right if that's the best you can do just mentally, or say, well, yes, I see it, I believe that, I'd accept it. And if you accept it on that basis, keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed, I'm healed. Now here Brother Branham is telling us what to do before Sonia, whatever her name was, and all these other Lewinsky's and Kalinsky's and all the rest of them people. Here they was thinking, no doubt this man's crazy. He ain't got a lick of sense. But God said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you smart aleck scientists figure out. I'm going to let you figure out what my prophet said in 1953 is the truth. Now you imagine you're saying it. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. You understand what you're doing? Them thoughts are running up through your hippocampus and your thalamus and all the rest of them things going on in your head. And they're grabbing a hold of it and releasing things in your body. And you're rewiring your brain. Why you need to say it out loud for? So you can hear yourself say it. Yourself needs to hear yourself quote the word. This is when self-talk becomes visible. Lord have mercy. Brother Donnie, buddy, I love you, but I believe you've flipped. I have. I flipped out. I believe I've actually lost my mind. But I got his. Keep saying it over and over. Say it out loud. Say it over and over. Just keep saying, I'm healed. I'm healed. Say it until actually you believe it. What are you doing, Brother Dan, when you're confessing the word? You're connecting the dots. You're saying it. Your mind is saying it. But your brain hasn't grasped it. And you keep saying it and saying it and saying it. You say, Brother Donnie, when are you going to quit saying some of these same things? When you start saying what I'm saying, then we'll move on. It's wonderful for me to say it over and over and over again. That ain't what God wants. He wants you to say it. And you say it over and over and over again till you hear yourself say it. And yourself says, he believes it. She believes it. And then it starts releasing serotonin, and the PFC goes to work, and all the rest of them things go to working in your body. And your body says, I better get with the program. The mind, the brain, the serotonin, all the rest of these things, they're being relieved. Man, I'm way behind. I better get with the program. Cancer, die. Disease, die. Blood pressure, come down. Oh, hallelujah. Depression, leave. Say it until actually you believe it. And when you believe it, then it's going to take place. Don't have a negative testimony. Every time when you confess, well, I still feel bad today, you go right straight back in the same rut that you was in the beginning. There's not a man or woman in here that's baptized with the Holy Spirit. But that would start your confession. I believe I've lost the Holy Spirit. I believe it's gone from me. You'll go right down. And notice, he never said you'd lose it. But you think you have. And when you think you have, you stop the flow and control of him in your life. Can I have a little more time? Listen close. You'll never live above your confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Is that right? Hebrews 3:1-9, his scholar knows the same word profession as confession too, same translated. Now sitting at the right hand of the Father to make intercession upon what? Our confession. He can't do nothing for you until you first confess he's done it. Not he's going to, he's done it. I'm healed. I'm delivered. It was already done at the cross. You say, why ain't I got the manifestation? He's waiting on your faith to catch up with the finished work. Woo! If Jesus Christ was right here this morning preaching this sermon, if Jesus was here and had on my suit, there's nothing more he could do than what he's already done to heal you and deliver you. The only thing he would do is try to bring your faith up to a level to accept what he's already done. Oh God, if I could give him my body, if you could give him your body, he will manifest himself. I'm not saved tonight because I get happy and shout. That isn't it. I'm not saved because the gift of God works through me. I'm saved because I've met the conditions that Jesus Christ required of me. I'm saved according to the Bible. Is that right? See? Not because I feel like I'm saved. Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings. How many stump whip Christians have we got here today? Nobody likes you. Brother Donnie don't care for you. The church don't want you. Oh, that's nothing but a stump whooping. But remember, God said, I will restore, saith the Lord. Quit hanging around the stump. The tree of life's blooming. Satan can whip you around a stump on your feelings, but he can't when it's thus saith the Lord. See, he can't go that. He can't wade across that. That'll defeat him. And when you believed you were saved, setting in your heart, out in there, wherever you was, you accepted it and began to confess and tell people you were saved. Well, you kept on saying it. I'm saved. The people said, there ain't no difference in you. But you believed there was. Is that right? And you kept on with your confession. After a while, it worked righteousness. All your neighbors and everybody knows you're saved now. Because you believed it and you confessed it. Then it worked its way out of your life. Isn't that wonderful? What happened? What changed you? He's the high priest of your confession, sitting in the right hand of the Father, making good what your confession. The same thing is by healing. You accept him as your healer. Renounce your feelings. It's not by feelings, it's by faith. Say you're healed. Believe you're healed. Act like you're healed. So Brother Branham prays for the little child with club feet. Nothing happens on the platform. The Parents walk off with the baby. Brother Bram keeps on praying for other people. Seemed as if though the prayer wasn't answered. But the next day he was walking downtown. And he looked into a store. And there was the father of the child buying shoes for his baby. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Why? Acting like the baby is healed. Before the meeting was up, they brought the baby across the platform wearing the shoes the daddy picked out. Brother Billy Paul tells of the testimony of Brother Branham praying for a person that was blind, didn't have no eyeballs. Prophet talked to the child or the woman, whatever it was, and then he stopped and said, I forgot to ask you, what color eyes do you want? That's your father. He's even concerned about what color eyes you would want. He's fixing to create you a set of eyeballs. And he loves you so much and takes you so into consideration. He said, do you want blue? You want steel gray? You want brown? What color eyes do you want? Amen. Oh, if he could ask me today, what kind of eyes do you want, darling? I'd say, God, give me eyes that I can see you. And give me eyes that I can see me. What changed you? He's the high priest. Oh, glory. Notice this. So you're healed. You believe you're healed. Act like you're healed. Associate with those who believe in healing. And God will bring, oh Lord, God will bring you right out to a perfect soundness of health. It will not fail. Imagine Brother Bram praying for people and telling them to go off the platform. Be happy now. Don't have any negative thoughts. Sing happy songs. Sing happy songs. Notice this again. God bless you, lady. Go now, rejoice and be happy. And you're going to be all right. God bless you. All right. Don't fear. Only have faith and believe, my sister. And God will grant these things to you. All right. Yes, ma'am. You go do as I tell you to do. See? You go out of here and just being happy. And thankful and rejoicing, and it'll leave you. Now listen, whatever it was she's been prayed for had not left yet. It's going to hinge on her obedience to these quotes. If she goes out there sad, melancholy, and oh, I didn't get nothing, I guarantee you she won't get healed. It's going to be based upon her obeying that word. Why in the world would it be that? God wants her connected somehow to the promise. Oh my, it'll leave you, see? You believe that? If you do what I tell you, just let the negative testimony be gone from you from now on. Apparently now this woman had a problem with negative self-talk. God wants to teach her a lesson. God wants to teach her the power of her own positive confession. Listen to me, children. Do you understand what was going to make that devil leave? Not just the prayer of the prophet. But that woman taking God at his word and saying it till she believed it, her own words would force that devil out of her body. Her own confession, Brother Larry, would make that devil leave. Go saying, thank you, Lord. I believe with all of my heart because of his own word. Even here says you're healed. Just go. Believe it. You'll be all right. God bless you now. Go rejoicing and be healed. What if God is waiting for some of you to align your testimony with his promised word? And you'll praise that blood pressure. Right out of your body. That kidney disorder or heart, whatever it is. Oh, I know some of you's waiting for the power of the spoken word, and you're thinking it's going to be one man that's going to stand up. The tape people thinking they're going to find one tape, one magic tape. There are no magic tapes. They're going to find one magic tape, and boy, when they do, the bride's going to hear that, all that one tape, and they're going to go in the rapture. That's a bunch of nonsense. We take the rapture just like Enoch did, day by day by day. We're not waiting for no magic tape. We're not waiting for no superstar preacher to come up. What if the rapture is you as the bride of Jesus Christ taking the promise of God into your heart and placing it on your lips? What if you are the one that helps call for it? Let me close. Let's stand together and we'll read this last one. Faith without works is dead. Go thanking God, saying, praise you, Lord. Praise you. Never have no negative testimony. Testify positive. Jesus has healed me and I'm well. Go and you will receive your healing. Say, praise be to God. Praise God. So just keep saying it. But Brother Don, I ain't no better. Has nothing to do with it. Just keep on saying it. What if people think I'm crazy? So what's new about that? Look, if you go out here in Laodicea and you have tattoos all over your body and purple hair with green polka dots, we're going to think you're crazy. Then people out there with purple hair and green polka dots and tattoos all over them, they hear us talking, they're going to think we're crazy. So you're going to be crazy either way you go. So if you're going to be crazy, you might as well be crazy. Give up your mind and believe what the Word says. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Think on these things. Brother Donnie, will I be changed by Wednesday night? Come here, let me hit you in the head with a wet noodle. Let me ask you this. Did you get where you are from a Sunday morning to a Wednesday night? For most of us, it took months and years. And if you don't get it by Wednesday night, you say it don't work. Amen. This works. Amen. And after all, what have you got to lose? Amen. Your depression, your high blood pressure, your cancer, your liver problems. If there was no eternal life after this life, friends, just according to what man has found out in the physiology of man and psychology, a part about him, you'd be a better human being if the physical, if the spiritual part don't even work. You'll be a happier person. But move it up into a higher level. And to where you begin to think, praise God, there is a rapture. And it's not just an event that happens at one time, but actually stages of it have been going on for a long time. The shout, the voice, the trumpet. The shout, the message to get the bride together. Praise God. Amen. There's a change. There's a change coming. Whew. Already you're much closer than any other mortals. Already, your minds, your eyes, your language, everything about you. Every now and then you get quickened real good and you get caught up into a heavenly language. You say, Lord have mercy, where'd that come from? A little touch of the Holy Ghost from the other side. Your eyes can see way beyond time, plumb back into eternity. Already, your body's been quickened, changed. Praise God. Well, Brother Donnie, I think you're wrong. Well, pray for me, would you? Because God knows I sure want to be right. Believe it or not, friends, I just preached to you this morning on spiritual mental health. say, I've never been to a psychiatrist in my life. Well, this is your first time. I am a spiritual psychiatrist. I don't say me humanly, but the Holy Ghost can take a hold of that gift in my life and tell you things that you're thinking about and things you've gone through that you know I don't know what they are. You ought to be rejoicing here today to know your God loves you so much that He would send His Word to help you. So how do we battle discouragement? With encouragement. Let your mind retrain your brain. Get away from that negative stuff. No good, I'm no count. Well, God will do it for others, but He won't do it for me. I messed up so much. How can I ever expect Him to do it for me? Because you're looking at you instead of looking at Him. He don't want you evaluating His promises by how good you are. He wants you to evaluate His promise on face value that He's the one who said it. And that He'll bring it to pass. Are you worthy? No, you're not. No more than I am. But look, if He's got it for me and my name is on it, why should I wait till the millennium to get it? I want peace now. I want joy now. I want healing now. I want happiness. Look, friends, we're living in a very unhappy world. And if we can be happy and have happy as the people, who's God? It's the Lord. Jesus said about taking communion and washing your brother's feet, happy are ye if you do these things. He wants you. He's so concerned just about simple things. It must break His heart when He sees you 4, 5, 6, 7 days out of the week going around so sad and seeming like you have nothing to be happy about. It must break His heart. And if He had not provided for us, we could have reason to qualm about it. But He said, I've come that they might have life. And they might have it more abundantly. Let's pray together. Think on these things. Or take into account. The word think here that Paul used is a phenomenal word. Logizomai. It's saying that there's been so much money that's already been deposited into your account. Think on these things. So you're actually thinking on the deposit that was already made for you. So when the deposit is made, He's the one that has to stand by it. So it's not you saying, well, I hope it will. I hope it will. I hope the money will be in the bank. No. That's not the word Paul uses. The word is, think on what's in your account. It's already deposited. It ain't going to be. It's not based upon if you're good, how many times you pray, how much you read your Bible. It's already deposited into your account as a believer. So think about the value. So if you're hungry here today, naturally, why would you go home hungry? You and your wife, your children, your husband. If you've got the money in the bank, you got room on your credit card. Why not go out and buy you something to eat? I mean, you don't need to be taught that. Our gut will tell us that. Our belly will tell us that. Well, if you're sick today, you're bound. Think about how much you've got in your account. Don't think and hope it's there, but think from the mind of Christ. It's been deposited for me. Why should I not take it? Why should I lay here afflicted? Why? Praise God. Think on your account. Heavenly Father, I've done the best that I know how. I know I'm simple. I know I'm not educated. I know I'm not a smart person. I just try to use the best that I can use. But there's one thing I do have. I have a love for your people. I want your people to be helped, Lord. If I live my life and I go off the earth, no doubt there'll never be great things that'll ever be said about me, but if one thing could be said,
He loved God's people. And he gave everything he had every time he spoke. He studied, he applied himself. God, please help me. Help me. I want your people to be helped. I want the sick to be healed. I want those that are bound to be delivered and free. Those that are lost to be saved. Oh, Jesus, help us today, Lord. Move on every heart. I'm sure a lot of this science and medical stuff, they'll never remember it. But Lord, if they could get the point out of it, it'll help them in their direction of thinking. Forgive us, Lord, for our negativity. Forgive us for wallowing in our sin, wallowing in our pain, or wallowing in how many doctor visits we've got instead of rejoicing in the power of the cross. That's one thing that we have to say about a lot of these positive preachers on TV and radio. I hate to say it, but in one way, they have broke into this aspect of God. And a lot of the bride hasn't. It's a shame, really. It's a shame that they've broke into, they don't break into holiness and they don't break into the Godhead, but they have broke into a principle of this and they make it work for their life. So they understand you want them to be happy. They understand you want them to prosper. So they apply the financial keys and they prosper. Lord, we think if we do that, we're carnal. Balance us out, I pray, Lord. We don't want just the seals and the thunders and all the great revelations of God. We'd just like to have a little peace every day. We'd like to have more happiness in our life. We'd like for our marriages to be closer to you and closer to one another. Our homes, Lord. Help us today, Jesus. Forgive us, Lord, if we become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. Oh, Jesus, we love you with all of our hearts. We need you today, Lord. Oh, I thank you for moving among us last night. Lord, before I ever got home, I started getting texts of you moving down in Kentucky and moving here and there in people's homes when we was praying and worshiping God at the end of the service and the presence of God coming in people's homes who'd have loved to have been here, but they couldn't be. But they invited you there to their home as they gathered around their computer, their monitor, and the Holy Ghost come right down among your children and begin to move and encourage and strengthen. Oh, Jesus, we call on you again this morning, Father. We ask you to strengthen your people, Lord. Encourage us today. Teach us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, your blessed word, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hey, sing whatever's on your heart. Whatever you need is now, friend. Let's just reach out to him. Whatever you need. If it's deep, if it's complex, if it's so simple, may you tap into the very premise of God, the very regions of God's great promise. Remember, it's a boundary by which God has opened up to you, a confines by which only you and he can enter in of that which has been allocated into your life. Let him open it up to you. Praise God. There's healing here. Deliverance here. Peace here. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whatever you need, Jesus is here. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I lift my hands, I bow my knees, and worship at your throne. I need you, Lord, I need you. Lord, we need you, Lord.
it this way now. Oh, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, right now. Why don't you tell him? Oh, with all my heart, Jesus. Bow our heads together and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, what an awesome weekend, Lord. What an awesome weekend. I pray you'd help me, Lord, that I'll always be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. You see, Lord, I got up yesterday morning. I thought I already knew the direction for this weekend. I had page after page after page after page of quotes and scriptures. But Lord, all of a sudden you come down where I was and you started funneling me in a different direction. Help me, I'll always be sensitive to that, Lord Jesus. I believe this is what you divinely orchestrated for this weekend. Help me that I'll never feel like what I think needs to be said is important. But what you know needs to be said. Go with us now, Father. Bring us back again Wednesday night. Our brother Tim Pruitt will be with us. We look forward to that time. Be with the children now, Father. May they think. May they ruminate on these things. May they apply them to their lives. Gather us back again, Lord, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You love God?
Amen.
You love God's children?
Amen.
Amen. Also, Sister Sarah had mentioned to me earlier that Brother Aaron is so weak and just dealing with all the stuff that they ask if he wouldn't have any visitors right now because he's just such a bad shape. So, but I know they would appreciate your prayers. Amen. That just continue to pray for him, that God will be with our brother and turn this situation around.
Amen.
God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. One day when I'm changed, I woke up before the throne of God. And I believe y'all will walk up with me as your shepherd. I believe y'all will be there and we'll all just kind of walk up together. And then I'll be able to express it to you how much I love you. I don't have the words now to be able to really say it. I just say the same thing over and over and over again and tell you that I love you. And I try to bring you the truth. But just keep this in mind. When you finally make your entrance to that city, look for me. Brother Donnie, you think you'll make it? Mm-mm. I know I will. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together as we go. Look for me. Turn and shake hands with somebody. Tell them it's been so good to be in church today. Praise God. When you finally make your entrance to that city of jasper walls and bright golden avenues, as you behold all its beauty and its splendor, praise God, remember there's just one request I make of you. Look for me. rubbish sink on the fear of God. I realize when you rise,
a million.